along to the Euro Assist brought to you by freesupertips.com as we look forward to game week 4 of the Champions League. I'm Warren Ashurst and I'm pleased to say I've been joined again this time by Racing Post tipster Jack Ogilvy to look ahead to the latest round of the league stage fixtures. And we'll get underway straight away with an early kickoff on Tuesday, November the 4th. And it is the Czech Republic, the venue for Slavia Prague against Arsenal in a 5:45 kickoff. Arsenal flying high, of course, in the Premier League at the moment and also 100% record in the Champions League to date. Slavia Prague as big as 9-1 to win this game, 27-100 Arsenal and 5-1 the draw. I watched Arsenal at Burnley at the weekend. Jack, really impressed with them again. Just so solid from the back, but also the way that they were able to kind of break down Burnley pretty comfortably as well from the sort of attacking positions was really, really impressive. Can you see them picking up another win here?
Absolutely, and I fancy another 2-0 as well. That's at 5-1 in the same scoreline that Slavia actually beat Ostrava over the weekend. But as you say, Warren, they're so, so good at the back. By my count, that's 9 games in all competitions where they haven't conceded in a row. They have been solid, haven't they, for a good 24 months, even more, but they just added more control to the play. I thought it was a bit frantic and frenetic at times last season, perhaps because Mikel Arteta wasn't keeping his cool on the touchline, but he seems to be a bit calmer now. His team seems to be much calmer now. It's probably a confidence thing. They know they can break down these sides, and these sides can't usually beat them. So, yes, they've beaten Bilbao 2-0 and Olympiacos 2-0 so far. They've won 6 times by that scoreline this season, and I can't see anything other than a control victory in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, I mean, I was tempted to go with an Arsenal win to nil, but I thought because we've been sort of suggesting that virtually every week recently that I'd try and go with something else. But it is hard because I do think that Arsenal will make some changes as well to their side just to try and make sure that everybody remains fresh for the second half of the season. I mean, Slavia are unbeaten in 7 home games in all competitions and they've only failed to score once in that run. But you know, despite the fact that they held Atalanta to a goalless draw last time out in Italy, I just think they might be better suited to playing away from home in this competition. And against Arsenal, it is another step up, of course, in quality. I'm going to go with Ethan Nwanyeri to score or assist in this game because he only came on for the last 20 minutes at Turf Moor on Saturday. And I think he may well be handed a start. He'll certainly get more, I think, than the 20 minutes that he got against Burnley. And I think with injury concerns over Gabriel Martinelli and Victor Gyökeres following the weekend, I think Nwanyeri could well have a significant role to play for Arsenal. And he's around about 11 to 10 to score or assist in that early kickoff. We'll move on to the 8 o'clock games now in the Tuesday evening Champions League fixtures. And we'll start off with a massive game at Anfield where Liverpool play host to Real Madrid. Of course, all the talk in the build-up will be about Trent Alexander-Arnold. Will he play or will he not play against his former club? He'll be there one way or another. And these two teams, quite unpredictable and quite hard to fathom out at the moment, Jack.
It's proper Real Madrid, this, isn't it? In that they haven't played well this season, but they still won 13 out of 14 in all competitions, which is amazing when you think about it. They absolutely blasted past Valencia 4-0 over the weekend, although playing against Valencia at home is a bit of a gimme. Lost trade, just almost don't bother on the road. They keep all their best form for Mestalla. I saw the Liverpool game against Aston Villa. Great result for the Reds. It was almost a bit back to what we all know, wasn't it? Arne Slot seemed to go back to what he wanted from his side last season with the selection. Did Unai Emery overthink it? I think maybe he did, Warren.
Yeah, potentially. I have to say, I do think that Villa didn't necessarily cover themselves in glory at times in that game. They left spaces in behind. But like you say, Jack, Liverpool have kind of gone back to basics a little bit in terms of team selection with Conor Bradley and Andy Robertson and the fullbacks. We'll come back to that scenario in a moment. But Real Madrid have shown in the past at Anfield that they're more than capable of turning up and causing a problem or two, although, of course, they lost last time out. And Kylian Mbappe had a night to forget last time at Anfield. He had his penalty saved by Cuevan Kelleher, but he is a man in form at the moment, Jack.
Absolutely. He's opened the scoring 2 out of 3 of Real's Champions League games so far and their last 2 games, including that Valencia victory. It's his early goals that seem to set the tone and get Real out of a bit of trouble. They are a side that are averaging 10 shots on target in this competition. He's chasing his 22nd goal of all competition with club and country this season. And I fancy him to get it by scoring first at 7-2.
Okay, well, Kylian Mbappe then for Jack. And, well, I touched upon he had an interesting evening at Anfield previously, because one of the incidents, apart from that penalty miss, was a challenge by Conor Bradley just inside the Liverpool penalty area at the Kop end in that game, where the whole crowd were up on their feet as the young Northern Irishman flew into the tackle and got the ball away from the French superstar. And Bradley is expected to start again on Tuesday evening, and he could be in for a pretty tricky night, I think, against the Real Madrid side, who'll feel that they can try and get at him. And I think to be booked at 15-8 is looking like a decent price, I think, in terms of Conor Bradley. We know his impact that he can have at right back in terms of the physicality that he offers, and I think that certainly is one to watch in terms of Tuesday evening's game. But Liverpool did look a lot stronger, and ordinarily I'd have gone for Real Madrid, bearing in mind recent performances from these two teams in recent weeks. But I do think that it's hard to call a winner in this one, and that's why I'm going with Conor Bradley to be booked at 15-8. The other Premier League team in action on Tuesday are Tottenham. They're at home to FC Copenhagen. Spurs 3-1 on to claim the victory. It's 4-1 the draw and 9-1 Copenhagen. There are a few boos ringing around the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium after that defeat to Chelsea at the weekend. It's already a bit of a test here for Thomas Frank, Jack.
Yeah, only one shot on target at the weekend, which is a real worry, especially after losing 2-0 against Newcastle in the previous game. It does look like he's still trying to figure out his best formula, but I suppose you've got to remember that they finished 17th in the Premier League last season, didn't they? Yes, they won the Europa League, but they were poor. And now they're pushing towards the upper echelons of the league this time around. If they'd beaten Chelsea, they would have gone second. I think it's going to be a bit of sorting out for Thomas Frank, but I do fancy them to get past Copenhagen with pretty, well, a bit of ease, really. To win 2-0 at 6-5 is my solution. Copenhagen have lost 2-0 at Karabag, and they lost to Dortmund. It's got the feeling of a real grind. Maybe it's going to take a bit of a street fighter to get Spurs out of this one. Richarlison's around about evens, 20-21, rather, get there eventually to score. But yeah, it's going to be not a good game, but a Tottenham win to 0 is my prediction at 6-5.
Yeah, it might not be the most entertaining affairs, but Spurs won't matter if they can pick up the 3 points. This is a game you feel that they really have to win in terms of qualification, of course, for the latter stages of the Champions League. I'm going to go with under 2.5 goals in this game. So just think Tottenham low on confidence, low on, you know, goal threat, really, to be honest with you. Richarlison doesn't look the same player as he did earlier in the season. Solanke, of course, has had all sorts of injury problems. No Maddison and no Kulusevski at the moment. Under 2.5 goals is 6-5. Tottenham won just 3 of their 7 home matches this season, and that was a 1-0 success over Villarreal in the Champions League. They've scored as well just 3 goals in 3 Champions League games to date, and scored twice in their last 3 home fixtures as well. It could be a bit of going back to basics for Thomas Frank. We mentioned that in terms of Liverpool, and I think Spurs could well be in a similar scenario for that clash on Tuesday. Let's turn our attentions now to Wednesday's Champions League action. Another early kickoff involving the Premier League teams. A 5:45 start in Azerbaijan for Karabag against Chelsea. Chelsea buoyed, I'm sure, by that win over rival Spurs at the weekend, Jack. And again, a difficult one to call at the moment in terms of Chelsea's form, because there's sometimes you look at them and think world beaters, got every chance of going deep in this competition, and other times, you know, they flatter to deceive.
Yeah, we lost at Bayern first time out, then just about did enough despite dominating against Benfica and smashed Ajax 5-1 in their last Champions League game. I thought they were mightily impressive. We used that word control to describe Arsenal. I thought it was something similar at Spurs for the Blues. Awkward trip to Baku, isn't it? They've already beaten Benfica in this competition, and it's the travel and the logistics and all those kind of things that Chelsea have to think about. I'm sure Enzo Maresca will make changes, but I think when they're bad, but more often than not, they are pretty good. They have won 6 out of their last 7. I think Maresca's doing an excellent job, and it might just be another grinding performance is what's needed, and they can win 2-0 over in Azerbaijan. That's available 11-8.
Yeah, just to fill you in on the match odds, Karabag 15-2 to claim the victory. It's 4-11 Chelsea and 4-1 the draw. I tend to agree with Jack that I think he'll make a raft of changes again, Enzo Maresca, and sometimes that works in Chelsea's favour. They seem to probably get the best out of some of their fringe players because they know when they get their opportunity, they have to make it count. Qarabag, of course, a bit of a surprise package so far. 6 points from three games and they're currently inside the top 15. The last time Chelsea were in Baku, they won 4-0 back in 2017. But this will certainly not be anywhere near as straightforward because Qarabag are a much better team there now than they were then. But although Chelsea still look a little bit shaky at the back, they do have that serious threat going forward. They've scored in each of their last 14 games in all competitions. And I think both teams to score and over 2.5 goals in this game looks like a decent bet. 21-20, that is, for Qarabag against Chelsea. Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. We'll turn our attentions now to the later games on Wednesday involving the Premier League teams. And we'll start off with a clash at the Etihad, which has entertainment written all over it, you would think. Manchester City against Borussia Dortmund at 8 o'clock. City 4-9, Dortmund 11-2, and the draw 15-4. Surely, Jack, there's going to be goals in this one.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Niko Kovac, the Dortmund boss, he knows what he's doing. But what do you do against Erling Haaland in the form he's in at the moment?
Well, it's almost a thankless task, isn't it? I mean, saw him against Bournemouth at the weekend, and he is just, I mean, it's been said before about him being robotic, a bit of a machine, but when he goes through one-on-one, it's an absolute shock if he doesn't score, really. And again, just the goal-scoring form that he's in at the moment, and obviously as well, up against his former club, he's going to fancy this.
Absolutely. 26 goals already for club and country this season. It's incredible, isn't it? He got that brace against Bournemouth and did the robot dance. Almost to back up what you were saying there. Dortmund actually get a clean sheet at Augsburg in their 1-0 win on Friday, but I just don't know how they stop him. Like you say, he's so big and strong, he can't sit deep. Mm-hmm. If you push up, he just runs in behind. Absolutely fantastic. The complete striker, him and Mbappe, I think, are the players really to watch in the world right now on current form. I'm actually going for him to score twice in this game. Two or more is 21-10. With the trainers. He did score the winning goal in these two sides, met soon after his arrival at the Etihad in 2022, a 2-1 victory for City. I can envisage a 3-2, a 4-3, something like that. Haaland's going to play his part, though, and he's going to score two or more, I believe.
Well, it's just one defeat in 10 for City, and overall, they've scored 15 goals in the last five matches at the Etihad. Most of those, as Jack says, have been scored by Haaland. Dortmund, meanwhile, well, they might have only conceded 6 goals in 9 Bundesliga matches this season, and only Bayern have a better defensive record. But it's been a different story in Europe. Niko Kovac's side have conceded 7 times in their opening 3 games, and that's a big concern when you're coming up against somebody in the form of Haaland. I just think Man City will be too strong for Dortmund. Again, I still thought there were real good opportunities for Bournemouth in Sunday's game. They got one goal. They possibly should have had more than that. City do leave gaps at the back, and I think Dortmund can kind of take advantage of that a little bit. But I just think City have got too much firepower. I think City to win and both teams to score looks a good bet at 8-5. The other 8 o'clock kickoff involving the British teams on Wednesday night is at St James's Park. It's Newcastle against Athletic Bilbao, and Newcastle 2-1 on to claim the 3 points here. It's 11-2 Bilbao, and the draw is 16-5. I just go back to last season, Jack, when Bilbao were in the Europa League and the final was at the San Mamés, and it just disappointed me so much with arguably a better team then, I think, than what they've got now.
I think they've got had a better team back then. It was written for them, and they froze in that first 25 minutes against Manchester United, basically, didn't they? In the semi finals, almost came back, but just wasn't enough. Newcastle were horrible at the weekend. I think it's fair to say. Eddie Howe making 3 changes at half time. Some of them might be injury impacted, perhaps, when you think Anthony Gordon and Nick Waltimade were among those. However, they're going to improve. Mm-hmm. Bilbao aren't the team they were, and maybe I'm just in a miserable mood, but I think this is going to be a grind as well.
Yeah, I can kind of see your point from there. I mean, it's interesting, just to go off tangent slightly, that Eddie Howe was critical of all of his players at West Ham. He said he could have taken any of them off. That's how poor they were on Sunday. I mean, he's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? It's either going to work for him and he gets a reaction again, or, you know, the players are not going to like what he's had to say.
No, well, we know Eddie Howe, and he still somehow has this reputation. I think it might be the nice face and the blonde hair, and everyone thinks he's quite kind, but you could see what he's like on the touchline. He would have been slamming his players, probably in the change room afterwards, on the coach to the airport, and then on the plane back, and maybe even meeting this morning to go over the analysis. They were so poor. It might give them another chance. I think they've got a real problem, actually. They've got a brilliant midfield, but no one really links the attack towards the midfield. There's a lot riding on Anthony Gordon, and maybe there is a place in that side for someone like Joe Willock, who likes to play between the lines. Bilbao, they've not won since August on the road. That's five games. They've only drawn one of those. I don't know how much they're going to bring to the party at St. James's. They'll want to sit in and use the Williams brothers on the break. Mm. I think it's going to be a real grind. I'm going Newcastle to win to nil at 6-4. I suppose they did it against Benfica and Spurs recently as well. But a bit like Tottenham on Tuesday, I won't be tuning in.
No, it doesn't suggest it's going to be a classic, to be honest with you. Although what I will say, Newcastle's defence is that they have bounced back well in Europe after poor results in the Premier League. I mean, they lost late on to Arsenal in a pretty dramatic conclusion to that Premier League game. And then they went on to win 4-0 in Belgium against Union. And then they were beaten at Brighton ahead of that comfortable win over Benfica as well in the Champions League. So they have got previous when it comes to responding pretty well. And like you say, Bilbao, 11th in La Liga at the moment, just one win in the last five games. And I think they've gone backwards from last season. I think Newcastle will probably have too much. But I think the better value is potentially in the anytime goal scorer market. You mentioned earlier on, Jack, slight knock for Anthony Gordon, but I think he's going to be all right to play. And he scored in all three of Newcastle's Champions League matches this term, and he could be the key figure again. He's around about 8-5 to score at any time on Wednesday evening. Well, that's the Premier League teams covered then in this week's Champions League action. We always, of course, have a focus on the big game of the week aside from those Premier League teams in action. And there's no doubting what the big game is this week. It's on Tuesday evening and it takes place in the French capital where PSG take on Bayern Munich. As far as the prices are concerned, well, defending champions PSG is 6-4 to claim the win. It's 13-8 Bayern. And the draw is 13-5. Another game where it looks to have goals written all over it. I can't see anything other, Jack, than an end-to-end match here.
Yeah, familiar foes to these two. They have met 10 times since 2017. Interestingly, one of the sides hasn't scored in the last five, but you just can't envisage that at the moment. No. Both sides 1-0 at the weekend, but you look at the team selection. Dembele had to come off the bench for PSG, while Kane, Diaz and Elise all started on the bench and came on around about the hour mark against Leverkusen as Bayern ran out the 3-0 winners. Speaking of Leverkusen, PSG won their last Champions League game 7-2 in Germany, and that was with Dembele coming off the bench to score as well. So, yes, this one looks right for goals, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, earlier on in the tournament, you and I discussed PSG and some of the problems they were having. I mean, they've gone from the Club World Cup. They didn't have hardly any pre-season. They've had a number of players, key players, out injured in the early stages of the campaign. Doesn't seem to have had any impact at all. And they find themselves top of the Champions League standings. And surely you would think the team to beat still.
I think so, yeah. The kids beat Barcelona 2-1 on match day two, didn't they? They were too good for Atalanta before that. And yeah, they just look so strong. So good. And I think these injuries might not be a bad thing. Ilya Zubarry is also going to be suspended. It's just allowing Luis Enrique to build into the season. The results are still going. Are they going to win this game? I'm not too sure. Of course, Bayern Munich got a perfect record in all competitions so far. My suggestion is that both teams to score an over 3.5 goals. We mentioned we think this is going to be a shootout. That's only evens. It's incredible for a game at this level.
Yeah, it is. And it, you know, it doesn't look anything other than an entertaining game, this, it has to be said. I don't think Bayern are capable of sitting back and just soaking up the pressure. They've scored two or more goals in each of their 15 competitive fixtures this season, which shows that basically it's almost all-out attack for Vincent Kompany's men at the moment. PSG have scored more goals than any other team in this year's competition, 13 in their three games. Who are second? Bayern Munich, along with Dortmund, who have both got 12 goals each. So there is goals galore amongst these two sides. Bayern have actually won four of the last five meetings between the two sides as well, although PSG won the last meeting, that 2-0 success in the Club World Cup. These two teams both racked up, by the way, the most number of corners in last season's competition, both level on 105 each. And that's given a little bit of a clue as to what I'm going for here, because you can get 11-8 on over 10 corners in this game. And when you consider it's likely to be end-to-end and you look at the stats for this season. It looks like a really good price because Bayern have averaged 7 corners per game so far in the Champions League. PSG 6.33. And as I say, with both teams going for goals here, I can see there being plenty of set pieces and over 10 corners. Just a reminder, is 11-8 for that clash on Tuesday evening between PSG and Bayern Munich. And we're going to stick with this game as well for our bet builder for this week's Euro assist. And we've come up with a 4-1 shot between Jack and I. And it is as this, Kane or Dembele to score first. Kane has scored 5 goals in 3 Champions League games already this season. He was rested for the weekend win over Leverkusen, so he's going to be fresh and ready to go. Dembele's got 1 so far in this year's competition, but he did score 8 last season and has got 2 goals domestically already in this campaign. So Kane or Dembele to score first is the first leg. Both teams to score, as Jack's already mentioned, does look like a strong possibility because they'll be going all-out attack. And over 2.5 goals as well, Jack, is the third leg of this bet builder. And again, it seems like it's not necessarily an absolute gimme, but you would be amazed if there wasn't more than 2.5 goals.
Yeah, it looks like both Luis Enrique and Vincent Kompany have almost primed their sides for this game. And I think as well, we try to avoid the Super League tag, but you look at the table, it's starting to look a bit like that already, isn't it? These two sides perfect after their 3 games, and we've both all but guaranteed a spot in the top 8 and the knockout playoff round off. There's license to entertain, and I think it's going to be an absolute barn burner, really, because Dembele scored in the Club World Cup quarterfinal. Kane's in amazing form. Everywhere you look, every stat you look, it says goals.
Yeah, just one more stat to back that up with. PSG averaged 4.33 goals in this season's Champions League. Bayern have averaged 4.0 in their opening 3 games as well. So just a reminder of that bet builder for the PSG-Bayern Munich game. It's Harry Kane or Ousmane Dembele to score first, either of those two players. It's both teams to score an over 2.5 goals, and that pays at 4-1. Well, that just about wraps up then this latest edition of the Euro Assist. Some mouth-watering games to look forward to then across Tuesday and Wednesday. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The domestic version of the Assist will return on Thursday. Looking ahead to another weekend of Premier League and EFL action. Make sure you join us for that. But for now, enjoy your midweek European football. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.